coming straight from the underground.
Welcome back, Sports Hub Underground. This is Matt Dolph. I'm here with my co-star Ty Anderson, as we are every single week at 98.5thesportshub.com. You can get us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts, really, but always at the Sports Hub website and app. Ty, hello. How are you?
Won't be here next week.
Why not?
I'm off next week.
Oh, right. You're off next week for the Bruins bye week. That's great. That's great. I wanted to talk to you about not having a phone, though.
Yeah.
Ty has no phone on him right now, and he feels naked.
It's just so weird. You don't realize how much you rely on it for, like, everything. I have no idea what time it is right now. I have no idea what time it is.
You don't know what time it is. You don't know what day it is. You don't know what you have to do that day. You don't know what's going on on Earth anywhere. You don't know what your friends are thinking, what your friends are up to, what your family's up to.
Now, what I will say is this.
It's our connection to everything.
What I will say is this. I have my laptop with me, which allows me to do a lot of things that my phone does. But there's one thing that I wanted to do today, that I packed a bag to do today, that I don't know if I can do. We have a gym here. I was going to go to the gym. I'm not sure if I could be a gym guy without having headphones and music playing in my ear. I don't know if I could do that. It's
Can't
a hard thing to do.
I've done it before. It sucks.
It's not good.
It's not good having all the sensory input going on around me. For me, anyway. Like, I can't. I get too distracted. I start to lose focus on the actual workout, and all of a sudden I realize, like, oh, I'm barely even moving right now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So, I don't know. I might skip it and just come back tomorrow and work out tomorrow.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
Well, we have...
I just dive over the console. It's like, you're not working out.
We have tonight's Bruins game, and they're off. So I got nothing to do tomorrow. So, yeah, may as well. Why not? Do it.
You just come in and just work out and go home?
Yeah, probably. Why not?
Okay, I guess. Yeah, I suppose.
Wait, are you going to be here? Do we have to hang out?
I may or may not be here.
Well, if you're going to be here, I'll come up and say hi. Maybe I'll do a little work.
All right. All right. Deal. If you're here, I'll be here. Does that sound like a deal?
I'm not going to be here until like 1 p.m., though, if I do that.
Oh, well, I'm always here at 1 p.m.
You work out of the office, and it's like the weirdest thing to me, because I do not believe in that concept as a sports writer.
Well, it's like impossible as a sports writer to just constantly be in an office.
I just feel like you're adding travel time to your day that you don't have to do.
Oh, instead of working at home?
Yeah.
But I personally feel more productive in the office than at home. That might just make me old-fashioned. I don't know.
There's no Stella here, though.
Oh, Stella the cat.
Yeah, there's no Stella.
I finally revealed. I did the big Stella reveal on Twitter a few weeks ago. You saw that?
Yeah, of course. I said pets soon.
Yeah, it was her. It was her doing the. Yeah, she does the thing where I guess that's. I assume everybody's cat does this basically.
Mm-hmm.
Where like if they just want you to pet them, they just go up to you and put their hand on.
Yes.
On your hand and just wait for you.
Yes.
You know what's funny is I finally, like, I clipped her claws myself recently for the first time ever. She had like velociraptor talons. It was insane. And it got to a point where she was legit, like, digging into me like a Freddy Krueger or something.
Mm.
And so I was like, I got to put a stop to this. And she did not enjoy that.
No, Creep hates it too.
But it's so satisfying for it to be over. Now when she does the hand thing and it's like, you have no effect on me.
Yeah, right.
You have no power here anymore. But you know, she doesn't go away. She just doesn't go away until I give her the petting.
That's great.
She's a psycho about
that.
That's
nice.
It's good. The only time Stella's annoying is when I'm trying to like sit there and watch the game or play a video game or watch a movie or whatever, and she just gets on the couch and just walks in front of me.
Oh yeah.
She doesn't need the petting. She doesn't need to be touched. She just gets in front of me.
Creep loves walking on my laptop. I'm like, get the hell out of here.
Hey, Stella, you make a great door, but a terrible window.
Ah.
Let's move along here.
Yeah.
That was one of my favorite dad jokes. Well, it was one of my dad's favorite dad jokes.
Makes sense. Yeah. I get it. But yeah, we will not be here next week.
No, fair we will warning. Not. We will not. Bruins will have a bye week. So, are we going to take a week off from the underground then?
Well, I know I'm coming in.
All right. Maybe I'll put out a 30-second episode. Just be like, hey, folks, we're not here today. All right. See you later.
Yeah, worth it.
We'd still have to put 3 mid-roll ads in.
It's just in between you go, hey, not here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I suppose we can get down to brass tacks. We don't know. We're a little pressed for time as we've been in recent weeks with other stuff going on, business, you know. So I guess we can talk about the local hockey team, and we catch them at a bit of a rough patch here, Ty.
Yeah, I think, well, listen, I think that it was gonna happen, right? And, you know, I land two different ways here, and namely being, I think this team is tired. I think they want a break. I think they see the break in front of them, and they're like, oh, just get us the All-Star break. Because we've talked about this, Matt. They have taken every team's best shot for 40 games now. They are the standard, you know, that everyone kind of judges themselves against. So,
especially when you're talking Atlantic teams, Eastern Conference teams, they're trying to catch them for real, real. So.
Exactly. So it's just been a lot of high-intensity, high-energy kind of games, and they need a break. And so that's now the problem is that coincides with them playing teams that we look at and say that's a team you might face in the playoffs, you know, Tampa and Carolina.
Yep.
But I think this is more, you know, a team needing a mental break, a physical break as well, versus, you know, this is doomsday. Because, you know, listen, I think that getting Carolina as a third game of a 3-4 is pretty brutal as is.
Yeah.
Let alone when you're not feeling on top of your game and you see this break coming up in front of you. So, and I thought Carolina made them play the way that, well, is that just Carolina, like, wants to make teams play.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, we can get into that a little more. But, like, is that just an age thing? Like, why do they need a break more than other teams? Is it just going back to getting every team's best shot where it's like,
yeah,
it's mentally draining on top of the physical draining, and it's every game is like that competitive?
I think so. Okay. I think it's more that than it is age, because, you know, I think this has been an uncharacteristically poor stretch of play for Hampus Lindholm, who's not that old, right? And I would think, you know,
he is quite in his prime, I would say.
Yes, and they're missing Jake DeBrusk, who's, you know, who provides spark, provides lift, provides energy for them on nights where they don't really have it.
Yeah.
You know, I know they've talked about that internally. Like, there have been some games like, really miss Jake DeBrusk in this game.
Yeah,
right?
Just the energy. Yeah. And there's the domino effect, because he was on the first line. You know what I mean? You can quibble all you want about whether he's actually a first-line right wing, but, like, there is the domino effect of taking him out of there. Like, we saw Taylor Hall up there for the last few games, you know?
Didn't work at all.
I know you said you wanted to see that, but it doesn't mean you knew it was going to work. You just wanted to see it.
Yeah.
Well,
now I've seen it, and I know it's not great.
No.
No, thank you.
No mas. Yeah.
But, yeah, and that's sort of the problem for them, right? It's like, okay, well, now you lose Jake DeBrusk, and now your options are either David Pastrnak, which then hurts your second line, or Craig Smith, who might not be that guy anymore. You know, I actually thought Craig Smith was decent with the top line these last few games. But anyway, yeah, it's just a hard stretch for them. But what I like about it, Matt, is that they didn't completely crumble into nothingness. Like, if you can take a positive from those losses, Linus Ullmark, still Linus Ullmark.
Yeah.
Played unbelievable.
Yeah,
he
was great
in both those games.
I thought he was really good in the Carolina game. Yeah, you know,
it should have been 10-1 if not for him.
Yeah, I know it was a 4-1 game, but, like, he, you know, he sort of kept them alive for about half the game there.
Yeah, and so what I look at it, though, is that power play went cold. Okay, well, if that comes back to no, like,
why did it go cold, you think? Is DeBrusk being out that big of a thing? Like,
I think that teams like Carolina have a very aggressive PK. It really limits your time and space.
That's
limits,
like, beating them at their own game almost.
Basically. And then when you basically get rid of Jake DeBrusk off that top unit and put Taylor Hall up there, it does hurt your retrieval game. It does hurt your tipping game. You know, Taylor Hall is a great player,
yeah,
but Jake DeBrusk is really good at those two things on that top unit. So I think that hurts you as well. It was a lot of one and dones, I thought. A lot of trouble breaking into the zone as well. They're all correctable. I think everything that went wrong for them in those games is correctable. Brandon Carlo running into his own goaltender for the game-winning goal, you know, in Tampa. Correctable. I think Carolina's more, okay, that's a team that is a challenge, but you need to be ready for that next time you're in that building. It's a hard building to play in. I think they're just as good as the Bruins are at home in their building. So that's how I look at that. But, you know, I think, I doomsday is not coming. Their first slump happened. It took 50 games. I want to see how they come out of it. And I think that's what's important here, Matt, is that when they come out of the break, right back into the thick of things. You have Washington, who's playing better of late. You have Dallas, who's the best team in the West, in my opinion,
yep.
And Nashville. That is a great coming out of the break test. That will really test if it's a slump or just tiredness.
Do you think Dallas is a good comp for Carolina? Like, are they the Carolina Hurricanes of the Western Conference?
Better goaltending. I think that's the biggest difference for me that I notice is that Jake Ottinger is an awesome goaltender. I love what Dallas has done with their defense. It's funny, Jamie Benn, who I thought was cooked, you know, watching him last year, I was like, this guy's done. He's been great, I think, for
really?
Them. So, yeah.
Renaissance season for him.
And they have some guys, too, that will kind of fly under the radar in terms of, their offensive abilities.
Rupe Hintz.
Rupe Hintz. Gurianov, I've always liked his game. I know it tends to kind of come and go, but he's another one. So they have talent. You know, Jason Robertson, obviously, is one of the best goal scorers
in
the
NHL. He is broken out. Yep.
Yeah, he's a freak. So they have the talent to both defend and score goals. They're very similar to the Bruins in that regard. Bruins and Dallas would be a really good Stanley Cup final if the Bruins lucky enough, fortunate enough to get there. Same thing with Dallas. Like, that'd be a really good Cup final because both those teams have similar styles and similar bases, of their game.
Yours truly would be torn.
Why is that?
As a former Dallas Stars fan.
Oh, I forgot. You loved Yrjö Lehtinen. That was your favorite player.
God, he two ways so hard.
That man looks like Freddy Krueger so good.
I loved Mike Modano. I loved Ed Belfour. We had a friend who flew us out one year. I think that's the only other hockey arena I've been to. Well, no, I've been to Bell Center. I went to one Bell Center game, Bruins,
really?
Canadians. What was a hockey team trip to Montreal? So we went to a game at the Bell Center. It was a game against the San Jose Sharks. I think it was the playoffs, actually. Yeah, it was May, so it was the playoffs. Mm-hmm. They beat the Sharks 1-0.
Nice.
And Mike Modano scored the only goal, so it was good.
There you go.
So I don't know if they still have that same arena.
Best
the
arena,
American Airlines Center.
Best arena that I've been to outside of Boston, NHL. It's probably Washington, D.C., the old Verizon
really?
Center. Really cool looking facility. It's in Chinatown in D.C. That's a trip that I always say this. I think I said it before, but if you're a Bruins fan, you're looking for a good trip for your family or whatever, D.C. Because they have all the museums and all the Smithsonian museums are free. So you can make a little trip out of it, and Nashville's cool too, though. Nashville is cool if you can do that trip as well. So.
Yeah. One year I did, the family did a Baltimore and D.C. joint trip.
Oh, yeah.
We saw a couple Red Sox Orioles games. Camden Yards is great.
Yeah.
We didn't go to any D.C. games. But yeah, all the historical stuff is, if you're into that stuff, that's it's pretty much the place to be. All right. Well, we're on a tangent. I kind of want to circle back to the Bruins Carolina game. I'll try not to go on too much of a soliloquy here, but if you could please lower the lights, time, put the spotlight on me for a moment.
I don't know where the light switch is, but I will.
Okay.
I'll find that out and we'll do that.
Okay. Thank you for lowering the lights, Ty. This felt like a playoff game to me in terms of all the really hard, tight forechecking. I call it sort of a half-court game like you would compare to basketball, where it's those things sort of really tighten up. And so the scoring opportunities might be a little harder to come by, and when they come, it gets intense. And so that was an intense game for a while, especially as Linus Allmark was keeping him in it. But it felt like a playoff game for the wrong reasons for the Bruins, because it felt like a playoff game where things have gone wrong for them. Offensively, really tough to get to the front of the net. The Carolina defense just did a really good job keeping them to the outside. I thought Brent Burns felt like a monster. He just felt huge being out there with the way they were grinding them down and keeping them away from the net. And so that was obviously a struggle. Bad game for the first line, I thought. And then defensively, the Carolina forecheck is just all over them. And it just felt like such a struggle just to get one of their clean breakouts. And they were just beating them to the loose pucks at both ends. And just winning those little puck battles is just so important, especially in the playoffs when every team is good, every team is deep. Who's going to outwork you for the puck? Who's going to win those little battles? Who's going to beat you to the loose pucks? And I know I might go back to what you're saying about them being tired. And I don't think it's a coincidence now that their two worst games of the year, which, the Seattle loss and this game the other night in Carolina, were the second night of a back-to-back, and Seattle was flying back from the West Coast. after a long road. So, like, I know that there is an element of, like, added fatigue that you wouldn't have on a normal night, and you might not have that when you get into a playoff game. But I just think stylistically, aesthetically, the way it looked and the way Carolina played them, and this is a team that beat them in the playoffs last year. So I think it's a fair concern to worry about Carolina in particular, the way they played them at both ends, especially with the way the forecheck was all over the defense and the way that the Bruins forwards couldn't get to the front of that against their defense. And so how concerned are you about that whole thing?
So can I play devil's advocate here with everything you just mentioned?
I want you to.
Okay, so
devil's advocate me.
Do you think that Freddie Anderson is going to be healthy? He hasn't been healthy really at all since going to Carolina.
You know what? Yeah, Ty, he is going to be healthy.
But let's say he's healthy, right?
Okay. He just got back.
Now let's look at their lineup.
He was out for like 3 months.
He was.
He just got back.
Let's look at their lineup. Do you worry about a team that currently has Jesperi Kotkaniemi as their second line center? Because I don't.
Yeah, Kotkaniemi has not reached that next level yet.
If Carolina were the team that acquired Bo Horvat, which we'll get into later, if they were that team, I'd be like, shit, that team is really good now. Because that would give them another strong face-off centerman, another guy who possession game is what he does well. What I think about Carolina is that I think that you have to process the game quicker against them, which is why I think it's funny that a lot of people after that game are going, the Bruins got to get bigger. No, you don't need to get more lumbering and slower against a team like Carolina. You need to have faster, quicker decisions with the puck your own end.
That's not what I'm saying.
I know you're not.
They were beaten to the puck. That was the problem was the skating and the speed and the endurance and the stamina and all that stuff.
But here's the other part of it too, Matt, is that so they dominated you in their building. When they were here on Black Friday, if you look at the advanced metrics, the analytics, the Bruins dominated them in that game. So you know what that tells me? It's the same thing as it was last year, where these two teams in their own building really match up hard against one another.
Mm. And guess who's going to have home in Game 7, bitch?
Right. So that's why I'm looking at it going, okay, Carolina's a good team, but I think their question marks loom a little bit larger than the Bruins' question marks, if only because, is Freddie Anderson going to be healthy? And if Freddie Anderson isn't healthy, is Antti Raanta going to be healthy? Because he wasn't healthy last year at points at the same time.
Didn't they have annoying struggles against Raanta in that series last year?
They did. And but
I just remember you vividly on this very podcast being like, guys, it's Antti Raanta.
Right.
Please, can you please just shoot the puck on him?
Well, they
make him make saves.
You know, you mentioned Brett Burns. They have another guy in their roster who you've definitely never heard of who has been surprisingly good this year.
Hey, maybe I have heard of him, big guy.
Jalen Chatfield?
No.
Yeah. So he's been really good for them this year. He's really given them another weapon back there on the back end. But, you know, I look at that and I say, if you can clean up a little bit of what you did, if you can be a little bit faster against this team with your decision-making, not your foot speed, but decision-making, it'll make a world of difference against that team in a 7-game series. And you'll find matchups that, you know, you like more. I think this team is deeper than last year's team. You know, I think that...
Definitely.
You know, if they don't make a move, and I expect them to make a move, but, like, you know, who does Carolina get? Because right now their center options are Paul Stastny, Kotkaniemi, Derek Stepan. You know, like, we know Aho and Staal are great, but who's that other guy? Is it Kotkaniemi? Is it Stastny? Is it Stepan? Two of those guys are old as hell. And I'm like, okay, fine, throw that guy out there. I don't care.
Yeah, the Aho was concerning because, like, he was, I thought, the best forward on the ice anyway.
He's been very good against
them. The best player on the ice. If Aho is the best player on the ice, they're going to have trouble against that team. You need the Marchands and
the
Pasternak.
On the road, they will. At home, they can throw McAvoy on them, which limits it quite a bit.
Right. Well, yeah, at home, they have the advantage of, like, picking the last change, last matchup, that sort of thing. I get that. But, yeah, like, they can't let Aho take over games like that one.
Right.
You know? Aho just stripping Pasternak of the puck and then going on a breakaway and scoring. You just can't have it.
You know, but that's another thing that, like, you know, I'm not sounding the alarms because I don't know if the Bruins are going to let the Carolina Hurricanes get two breakaways on them again. You know what I mean? Like, there are things that are correctable, puck management, decision-making, that can and will be better, I think, in the playoffs.
Hey, David, love you. But we're going to give you $12 million a year, buddy. Can you not try to dangle at the top of the blue line, please?
It would be nice. But
not right in front of Aho.
You know, I think Carolina is their greatest challenge in the Eastern Conference. I firmly believe that.
Yeah, I think after, especially after this last stretch, that's the team I'm worried about the most.
Yeah, it's just a matter of can Carolina do that on the road, or could the Bruins do what they did at home against Carolina on the road? That's the greatest question, Mark, because if that doesn't happen, well, it's going to be a repeat of last year where the home team wins every game, and that's when you hang your hat on the Bruins being the better team right now and would have a Game 7 in their own building. So it's worth watching. I wonder how much of it can translate to playoff success and what changes both teams make at the deadline to improve their chances.
All right. Well, yeah, we'll get into the actual deadline stuff. We're going to take a quick break here, and we'll come back and talk more hockey.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
We're back. Ty, right
we're
before
back.
You...
Yes. Hello. It's me without my bike.
Is there something you want to share with the rest of us, Amazing Larry?
No. Sorry.
All right. Sorry.
All right. So trade deadline is not until March 3rd. We have over a month. But the rumors are already starting to percolate. And, you know, they're gonna make a move. Don Sweeney, I looked it up this year. I was a little surprised, but not really surprised. He's made a trade deadline move like every year he's been GM, whether it's sometimes it's, you know, a month before, sometimes it's right at the deadline, but he makes a move,
and they've all been varying degrees of importance. Like,
right,
you have Drew Stafford trades and you have Rick Nash and Taylor Hall trades.
You got the suitcase Stepniak trade, you got the Taylor Hall, Marcus Johansson, Charlie Coyle trades, and then you got the Lindholm trade. And I mean, the Rick Nash trade was a big trade. It didn't necessarily work out the way they wanted, but you know,
Taylor Hall-esque plans for him, if not for the concussions. Like, he would have been here beyond that, just that one year.
Yeah, and I liked Nash the way he fit here. It's just, yeah, he had to retire basically after that concussion. Not to laugh and not to make a lot of concussions, but...
Yeah. That's true, he did.
I thought he was a good fit. I liked talking to him in the locker room a little bit that year. But yeah, no, we moved on. We're 5 years later. So Bo Horvat has been traded. The New York Islanders traded Anthony Beauvillier. Oh, sorry, I got the guy's name written down here.
Atu Rati.
It's a job of the hut prospect.
Yeah.
Atu Rati. And a first round pick. So if the Bruins
top 12 protected first round pick too. So.
Oh, okay. So there's a lottery implication there. But like, just that aside, like if the Bruins were to make a big trade. And, you know, Elliot Friedman does his 32 thoughts every week, and he said the Bruins are in the market for a left shot defenseman. And he said, it's all kind of vague. Like, I think he said they're believed to be in the, or maybe it's just like he's being vague because he can't put like a hard report on it, maybe. I don't know how that works, you know, with Elliot Friedman and whoever he talks to, probably Don.
Don Sweeney's
Cam.
Sorry to interrupt. Don Sweeney's played everything really close to the vest. Is really like they don't want any leaks of any sort.
Yeah, I'm real shocked about that one. But yeah, look, if they were to make a big trade, that feels like the comp is whatever the Islanders gave up for Bo Horvat. And I believe Felger said that, like, oh, so the Bruins comp is Jake DeBrusk. You don't agree with that?
I don't, because I think DeBrusk is a lot better than Beauvillier, and he has been for quite some time now.
I think so, too.
Beauvillier topped out at 21 goals. I want to say it was his career high. I think his career high in points, I want to say he's 39 or 40. Like, it's not like he had a 60-point season.
And he was, like, the 28th pick in the draft. DeBrusk was 14th.
Yeah.
And so I think you said Frederick would be a better – Trent Frederick
that
would be a better
That makes more sense
comp.
To me. A guy who, you know, has shown promise but hasn't taking that next step. Like, Beauvillier's game has dropped noticeably the last 3 years, where you thought he was going to be like a legit piece, and now you're like, okay, he's throwing.
I thought he was good in that playoff series against the Bruins.
He was.
But now we're 2 years out of that, and I guess he's regressed for
his finishing
reason.
Has gone to hell. Like, his ability to score goals has gone to hell. And, you know, it reminds me a lot of Danton Heinen, his final years here, where you saw a serviceable player, but you saw a guy who was losing his grip on his roster spot, right? So... Mm-hmm. It's really interesting, because I don't think that it was a particularly great trade for the Canucks. Like, you were thinking they were going to get this King's ransom for Bo Horvat because they have to, because their franchise is in such a weird spot.
Weirdly, it feels almost like they got the minimum. The minimum is like a roster player, a top prospect, and a first-round pick. It's like, okay, that's a good package, but that feels like the bare minimum for a good package. It's not an absolute haul.
Do we know if Roddy can play in the pro game? I mean, he's played 30 AHL games. I think he has 15 points. He's played 12 NHL games. He has 2 NHL goals. Like,
what's his record against the Rancor and the Sarlacc?
Right, yeah. Yeah, it's just like, yeah, I mean, he was on the Battle of Endor, but I mean, does that win you games in 2023? I mean,
did he shoot Boba Fett into the Sarlacc pit? I think not.
So it's a meh return from the Canucks, but I look at that and I say, okay, well, what was the Bruins comp? I don't think it's DeBrusk. I think it was Brandon Carlo, which I'm okay not moving Brandon Carlo. For all the bellyaching about Brandon Carlo that Bruins fans have because he's 6'6" and doesn't put guys through walls, really good PK guy for you. Has been a really good PK. Your PK is best in the league. He eats up about a minute and a half of those every time.
I think he still has one of the better sticks among the Bruins defenders.
Yeah, and it's a trickle-down effect. And I've said this to you, I believe, and I think I've said it on here, but I think the Bruins are very cognizant and hyper-aware of rocking the boat too much with their NHL roster. Mm. I think that they're okay subtracting here or there, but they don't want to completely reconfigure their roster. Trading Brandon Carlo for a center right now.
I'm not even going there. I don't know where that's even. I don't know if that's even a thing.
No, but the Canucks would want Brandon Carlo. That's
they would have wanted Carlo in a Horvat deal.
Yes. Okay. Yes. And so if you're going to do that, okay, now Connor Clifton's moving up. Now Jake Zboril is a full-time lineup member. Now Anton Stralman's coming up from, you know, waivers.
Yikes.
Like, the trickle-down is kind of noticeable with that, right?
No,
like,
yeah, definitely.
So I think that's a big reason why, you know, that this trade didn't materialize for the Bruins is that what they're giving up versus what they're getting, I don't think made them comfortable enough to be serious about it personally.
I think Carlo's had enough injuries, though, where there's a chance you lose him anyway. So I think they should try to get, you know, a depth guy, if anything. I think they will. They'll at least get something like that. But that's
what I'm kind of saying, though, is that you don't want to lose a defenseman to add a forward. I think that's kind of where I'm at with it.
Yeah.
If you're them, you're looking at it saying, we go through 9 defensemen every postseason. Why are we going to get rid of one to add a forward when we already have 3 great centers with Coyle's having a great year? People look at his money and they think it's 1999, so they think $5 million is like the end of the world.
Right, that's very middling money.
It's quite a decent contract, and you have Krejci and you have Bergeron. Like, so where does Horvat fit? You're putting him on the wing? Okay, well now you're acquiring a guy who has an over 56% faceoff percentage, and you're putting him on the wing, and you're losing a top 4 defenseman in the rock of your PK. Why would I do that? Why would you do that? That doesn't make sense for them, right? And I feel the same way about trading Jake DeBrusk, who's locked in at $4 million for this year and next year. As a $4 million top liner, you're going to trade that for a rental? I wouldn't do that. Like, so I don't blame them for not getting serious because I think it rocks their boat too much for their liking.
Yeah, and there's the whole thing that he's going to be a free agent. I mean, are the Islanders, did they give up enough where now they have to sign into an extension? Like, is that going to come down? Because I'm not totally sure, because Elliot Freeman said in that same column that I keep referencing that, like, the Bruins would be a top suitor for Bo Horvat in free agency, which makes sense. You know, I know you think Bergeron's going to be back, so Bergeron will be back. Is David Krejci going to be back? Not totally sure. Is he going to be the same player, you know, a year from now? We don't know. They could absolutely use Bo Horvat as a long-term piece if they could bring him in as a free agent. So, I mean, how realistic do you think that would be? Horvath.
I think if he gets to market, they're gonna do what they can to make it work. Now,
with the Islanders are gonna do that, or
the Bruins?
The Bruins will try. Okay,
yeah, the Bruins have liked him for a long time. That I do know.
Okay, so they do sort of covet him a little bit.
Yeah, and I think that they look at him as. I hate this because I'll never compare anyone to Patrice Bergeron, but they look at him as a decent enough bridge for post-Bergeron life. He's a good face-off option. He plays power play. He plays on the PK. One of the things that Horvat is really good at is tipping. He's been like one weapon that he's added to his mix this year. Tipping pucks, net front guy. The Bruins always like those guys.
You think the Bruins like to tip the puck a little bit?
The Bruins like it's
so
like
he could be a bumper then.
It's the same reason why they like Joe Pavelski. And they could never get him, but they always liked him because he was such a good net front guy. And that's, you know, you look at some of the guys that they brought in over the years, they've always tried to address that. You know, whether it's been Nick Ritchie, Nick Foligno, you know, now Bo Horvat. Like, they always liked those kind of guys who were good around the front of the net, and Bo Horvat's added that to his game this year. So I think they like him. Financially, I don't know how it happens. I don't know how it works.
Right,
but
yeah.
I think
what's
they'd be in
cap,
on it.
What's their cap situation for next year? I mean, yeah, is Bo Horvat looking at, like, $8 million a year? Is he that type of player?
Probably. Yeah. Probably. I mean, with the way the cap is going, you know, he's going to cash in on what is a career year. He's shooting over 23% among NHL players with at least 100 shots. Only Mark Scheifele has a higher percentage this year.
I'd say, yeah, he's got to be one of the better, like, pure sniping, goal-scoring centers.
But is it a, but so that's the other part, though. Is this just a career bender for him, or is this what he is now? And that's kind of like that's the problem when it comes to giving him $8 million. Is he more in line with what he's been before this year, which is that 20 goal, 20-ish, 55-ish points guy, or is he a 40-30 guy?
Yeah.
Like that's kind of the hard part for a lot of these teams, and that's why I think an extension with the Islanders might be hard. They have the money to do it. They have.
Oh, then they should do it. Then
they should do it. You'd think. But who knows?
But if he gets to market, that's the risk. They got to pull a Bruins and then like sign him now.
Right.
Pull the Bruins with Lindholm.
I'll tell you this. That Islander team, I don't know if they make the playoffs because their games played situation kind of sucks. If they get in, that's a tough out. With Sorokin, who's a great goaltender, and their center depth, you have Cizikas, Pajot, Horvat, Barzal. That's the makings of like a team that can give you fits.
They're a classic like eight seed that could sneak up on the one seed and push into a seventh game. Yeah,
yeah. You know, it's funny though because I think that right, and then I know it's different because they've added Horvat since the last showing. That Bruins game on Long Island, I was really expecting more from the Islanders, and they had nothing. They had no juice in the tank, and I was like, ugh. Well, I can't believe in this team as a threat now. I remember saying that. I don't know if I said it to you.
You were
off
saying
the
about
air.
The fans or something. You were like, "What? There's no noise."
Yeah, that was
What's
weird.
What's going on with the
there
audio?
Just, there was just no energy. But we'll see. We'll see how the Islanders look with Horvat now. I mean, if they still look disjointed and disinterested, I don't know how you fear that team. But they have like three games more played than like everyone else around them in the wild card bracket. So I don't know
so
if they
tough.
Make the playoffs. Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be tough to make up. Well, I mean, yeah, maybe Horvat makes that much of a difference for him. All right, just to circle back to again the Friedman column that talks about the Bruins being in on left shot defensemen. And so I wasn't even thinking Brandon Carlo. I was thinking Matt Grizzlick because he said he wouldn't be surprised if they checked in on Jacob Chychrun from the Coyotes. If they were to get Chychrun, wouldn't it take Grizzlick, Mason Lowry, first-round pick? Isn't that the comp?
Yeah, you'd think so, right? The money, the financials of that work out pretty close to the same,
I
would
say. And I say Chychrun is a legit upgrade over Grizzlick because he's bigger and he's a proven scorer.
It all comes back to what the Coyotes want in terms of, do you want... Because the Coyotes have been pretty reluctant to take on too much money. Right, and so Grizzlick, he doesn't make a ton of money, but he makes money. You know, yeah. Like would they want?
I think he makes around the same as Chychrun right now.
But would they want like prospects and mid-tier guys? And
yeah, and they might have to give up more draft picks because if the Bruins are saying, "Hey, we'll give you our first round pick," they'd be like, "Well, yeah, I mean, you probably expecting that to be the 32nd pick because you're going for the cup."
Yeah,
right?
So I don't like that's a move that. Makes sense to me in the sense that the Bruins would like to, you know, I think that when you have the uncertainty at center, you want to have what I consider the Nashville model, where you just have great defensemen. So if you had a top four, basically, that was Chychrun, McAvoy, Lindholm, Carlo, that is a really good top four.
Yeah, that's, I'd put that up against anyone in the league.
Yeah, so you look at that way and you're like, okay, like, is that what their goal is, right? Does that can they say, well, we don't need high end centers because we have the best defense corps in the NHL.
Yeah.
So who cares?
Like, I mean, dude, just the thought of McAvoy dangling around the team, getting like three guys to focus on him, and then he just passes it between guys' legs back to Chychrun.
Yeah.
And then Chychrun bombs at 100 miles an hour for a goal. Like,
right.
I'm just picturing that. I have visions of Chychrun's dancing in my head.
So, you know,
it's no disrespect to Matt Grizzlick. I just feel like that's a spot. And like, I think that's a spot they could upgrade, because Grizzlick just doesn't produce as much as you would want from like an undersized offensive minded defenseman. And so, you know, I just feel like that's an easy spot. Well, easy spot to upgrade, but not necessarily easy to make that move. And that goes back to Freeman, and sort of says the same things you're saying, which I think are both you guys reflect the thoughts of the actual team, which is like, it's a risk to mess with that chemistry.
Yeah.
And so you better nail it if you're going to trade Grizzlick for like an upgrade at his spot. I feel like Chychrun would have a potential to like be that guy.
Yeah, I think that's a real concern. And people are going to scoff at that and say, no, build the best team.
Well, it's a risk when this is like the go for it year too, right?
Yeah, yeah. So. And I think that Don Sweeney is going to hope for the best but prepare for the worst, right? So that's why I firmly believe that it's going to be more depth than it is home run. So
yeah.
I don't know if they can make that trade happen. I don't know what their appetite is to make that trade happen. You know, but I know that, again, it's about not watching those players go to teams that you're trying to compete against at the same time. So that's a delicate balance you have to walk. I mean, you always say, you know, don't make moves because of what other teams might do. Well, I think for the Bruins, it's a little bit different, because they watched Palmieri go to the Islanders, and then he torched them in the playoffs.
Yeah,
they watched
Blake
Coleman, you know, get under their skin for you know, series in the playoffs.
You
don't want to always be that team. Sometimes you want to make the statement. They made it last year, I thought, with getting Lindholm, you know, and so it's just a matter of how much are you going to mortgage of your future? How much can you afford to mortgage, and how much can you afford to mess with the chemistry of your room? Because I think at the same time, Matt, I think it's very important to note this as well, is that with their cap situation, they're going to have to integrate some of these younger players, right? And if you trade all of them, if you trade all your high-end younger players who are going to be making $900,000, it really hurts your future as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, think about the value of a Lowry at $900,000 or a Lysel at $900,000. Like, you might need those guys, you
well,
know,
yeah,
these
they're
next
gonna
2 years.
Well, they're going to need them. But, like, that's sort of the argument, is, like, just push all your chips in and, like, hopefully you win the cup. If you win the cup, that's great. You celebrate the cup, and we're going to suck for a few years because we have nobody left, you know?
Right, right.
Like, that's the risk you take.
It's always hard to get out of that, though. That's the problem. Like, and I think that's – I can tell you this. The Bruins –
It's hard to get out of that without like getting the number one
yes.
pick in a year where there's like a franchise center.
Look at Philly.
Yeah.
Look at Vancouver.
Yeah.
Like all these teams that were like, no, like, you know, another one, Pittsburgh. Look at Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
You don't want to be Pittsburgh. Like that's true middle of nowhere, holy shit, what are we doing kind of franchise movement where, you know, you either draft poorly because you don't have any picks or, you know, you're just not getting the right kind of talent. And you're like, all right, Crosby and Malkin, take us there. And it's like, it's hard, right? So I think those are things that, you know, the Bruins will never embrace a full-on rebuild. They won't do it. They will never do it. So I just think that they themselves are like, we are all in, yes, but we need to have some semblance of a future or things are going to get real bad around here. So something to consider.
That's a tough balancing act. It's a tough balancing act. Well, Freeman also linked them to your boy, Vladislav Gavrikov. And that's a guy that they won't have to send the big haul for, right? That's more of a depth guy and a guy that wouldn't, you know, they wouldn't have to give up too much and they wouldn't have to play him like top 4 minutes every game. But that's a guy, like, the more I look at him and the more I read about him, I would love it if they got that guy. And that was the guy you brought up when I was throwing names out. And, like, he wasn't even on my list, and I didn't even know who he was, to be perfectly honest. But, like, you know, like, that seems like the kind of guy they should get anyway.
Yeah, left foot shot, 6'3". When we talked last week, I looked it up. He was one of 8 defensemen, I believe, to play 180 minutes on the PK this year. And
yeah, that might be why they're looking at him, you know?
Yeah, it's just another guy that can help fortify the hard minutes on some of your other players. Great insurance policy. I'd be curious to see who would get bumped out if they were to acquire him. Like, that's kind of the other debate, you know, Forbert, is it Grizzlick? Is it Clifton? You know, like, what? I don't know if he plays the right side or not. I'd have to look that up. I have to imagine he would play the right side, because that Columbus team has been so battered this year. I think that all their guys have had to move over left and right at certain points.
Yeah, I wonder if he's capable, and they would think about putting him next to Forbert if they needed to.
Right, right. And you know, from what I've seen, he can skate, he can move. You know, he's not overly physical, but he does enough, in my opinion.
Yeah,
in
but
blocking
yeah,
shots and, but and whatnot.
He, yeah, like he's the guy that like can box you out and take a good angle, and like he can make up for like lack of physicality.
Yeah,
sort of
exactly.
Like Carlo can do when he's playing his best hockey.
Yeah, I just think that they want insurance policies for some of these guys because, you know, they are aware of what we've talked about before here, where like Grizzlick teams target him. They're aware of Brandon Carlo's injury history. They're aware that Connor Clifton is playing the best hockey of his life.
Yeah,
and
Forbert,
there may be a cliff at some point.
And
you know,
Forbert's an injury risk just because he like blocks so many shots and just sticks his nose in there. Like he's just he's putting himself at risk just by the way he plays.
And I think that, you know, and this is why I lean depth, is that we saw what happened when Forbert was out. That PK was not good. When
he was out, it was dog poo.
It was not good at all.
Burning dog poo in the human response.
And I think they're seeing something similar with Nosek being out, where that PK, you know, it loses a bit. That's why I think like they are looking at guys that are not going to break their bank, and guys that they can just give a slight upgrade or a slight insurance policy over player X and player Y. Like, so that's where I'm kind of torn in the middle here, where...
Yeah, it's like, look, between Lindholm, Taylor Hall, Charlie Coyle, like, they've gotten the core guys, they've made the big moves. Like, do I don't think they really have to make another big move like that.
Right, and again, if they want to... Awesome. What does it cost, though? I think that's the biggest. What does it cost in terms of what's going out versus what you're bringing in?
I'm personally okay with the cost, but like, yeah, but like to our previous conversation, if it's Grizzlick or Carlo, it's a big risk to like replace them and just hope that it works out with their replacement.
And those
like
guys,
that I understand.
Those guys are big locker room guys. People don't realize that they are big locker room guys. Brandon Carlo, I think, is their NHL PA rep. You know, and
yeah, he's a good dude. Yeah, my experience talking to him anyway.
And Matt Grizzlick is a local guy.
Yep.
You know,
and I thought like it was Chikrin a local guy, but no, he's from Florida. Florida man.
Grizzlick is you know, boys with Charlie McAvoy, who's your franchise defenseman. You really want to upset Charlie
McAvoy?
Yeah,
that's the other thing. He's the Christian Vasquez of the Boston Bruins.
Yeah, like you might not get it, you might not like it, but I'm telling you, they love the guy. They love him, and it's kind of funny, like, you know, Brad Marchand's Twitter interactions lately have been through the roof. Not sure if you've seen any of them.
Yeah,
but
what's he up to? What's that all about?
One of them was very telling to me in regards to someone had a proposal, basically, a trade proposal, where they were like, oh, add this player and take this guy out. Marchand replied with just the be quiet emoji, basically telling you they don't want to rock the boat too much. They like what they have. And if Brad Marchand is saying that on Twitter, basically, read between the lines, you know, I think that is a sign that the locker room doesn't want you to mess with the chemistry too much.
And look, that goes back to someone who's never in that locker room, never talks to anybody. And not to denigrate anybody else in the media, because I know, like, people have jobs and you got to do what you got to do. And you sometimes you can't get in the locker room. But that just shows the difference where if you're just on Twitter and you're just watching every game from your couch, it's very easy to just hop on Twitter, but yeah, just take this guy, I'll put that guy in. Hey, who cares? What's the big deal? You know, like, I know, like, you got to talk about that at some point, but, you know, you are talking about people here.
And the other thing, too, is that I think that a lot of people, while we're on this topic,
people with feelings.
A lot of people, feelings, they do count. They
remember
do
feelings? Yes.
I have feelings every day of my life. what I was saying, though, is that the other part of it, too, that I think people are oversimplifying is that when it comes to making a trade, they're like, just throw in Craig Smith, Mike Riley, a third-round pick, and Jack DeShawn. It's like, no, they've been trying that for months, my dude. Like, they've been trying to get rid of Mike Riley. They've been trying to get rid of Craig Smith. It's so hard to make a trade involving money right now. Everyone is trying to basically leverage their cap space and is saying, oh, well, we have the cap space, but that's going to cost
you.
Yeah,
no, I think we got to package Frederick, Mike Riley and Jacob Zboril, and throw a couple thirds, and then you call up Detroit and say if the Detroit will give you Moritz Seider and Dylan Larkin. I think that's the trade we got to make.
There's just too many people out there that like just think it's a video game, and it's like, no, you trade these three pieces and you get this really great piece. It's like, no,
And even in the video game, you get the red barn. It's like, well, no, that's not. They're not going to accept that deal.
Yeah,
what's
exactly.
wrong with you?
Yeah, that's when you turn on the trade override, and you're like, nope, you will accept that trade. Actually,
yeah, you just turn the boosts all the way up, or whatever the hell you got to do in GM mode these days. All right, you got any more Bruins thoughts before we move on here?
Nope. Looking forward to the break, though. I think they need it. I think we all need it.
We all need it. Yes, I think the Bruins need it for sure. If you're listening now, it's going to be after the Wednesday night game in Toronto. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how they approach that game. Where we're talking about a team that's fatigued and needs the break. Hopefully, they don't just totally mail it in. Hopefully, you know, get a good effort out of them. But we're going to come back here, folks. We got one more break here. We're going to do the big three time.
Cool.
Close this out with a little fun. All right, we'll come back and do the big three.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
We're back. Ty. It's time for another big three, and we're jumping back into the food realm.
Oh, we are.
Our food big threes tend to do well. Those are like the nice, those are debates that like people are comfortable jumping into because it's not too serious, but it can also get fairly heated. Heated like, you know, like a spicy chicken sandwich, you know.
Of course.
Not too serious. So we're going to do the big three flavors this week. Now, that's an interesting one. There's a difference between an actual food and the flavor associated with the food.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they might be completely different, you know? You wouldn't eat a pumpkin, right? But a lot of people like pumpkin-flavored stuff.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever eaten... There's certain things I've never eaten the actual food, but I like the flavor.
Okay.
And it might be part of my big three. I think that's interesting.
It is. I think it's interesting.
And you can have different flavors for, you know, different types of food. I think it's a fun conversation. So I'll let you go first, though.
All right. So if I'm going first, the flavor I am choosing... is strawberry banana.
Ooh. Okay.
Strawberry banana yogurt.
I was terrified you were going to take my first pick, but okay.
No,
good.
No. Strawberry banana flavored yogurt.
You almost did.
Is
close.
Unreal. Strawberry banana flavored smoothies. Also fantastic.
Sorry, wait. What was the first thing you said?
Yogurt.
Yogurt.
Like strawberry banana yogurt.
Actually, yeah, you're right. I'm not a big yogurt guy, but I do like the strawberry banana.
It's unreal. I don't know what it is. It's something in it. I think it's strawberry banana.
It's honestly. Probably the strawberry banana.
If I had to venture a guess, I would say it's those things. Strawberry banana flavored anything is unbelievable. Unbelievable. So not much more I can say beyond that, except, there is a version, Matt, that is like next level. They make this this Friendly's ice cream, and it's called like Royal Banana Split, and it has strawberry ice cream and banana flavors in it, like and fudge in it. It's so good. It's stupidly good. So that's my first pick. Probably because I had a yogurt of it for breakfast this morning, but that's all right.
That's a good one. Yeah, it wasn't at the top of my mind because I don't even remember the last time I ate yogurt. But I think you're totally spot on with that being like the best yogurt flavor. What's going on? You're seeing something out in the window there?
Yeah.
And for the uninitiated, I might have to take a picture. Like we have so many windows.
I'm just seeing like people are just leaving right now. Like in
this? I actually see it too. What is this mass?
I don't know. That's why I was seeing if there's like a fire alarm going off or something. But I think we're good.
Right. Yeah. Like we're just burning to death.
Everyone's I don't know what the hell is going on. So.
All right. I'll make my first pick. My first pick is cherry.
Ah. Gross.
What are you talking about? You have a cherry drink right in front
cherry
of you.
Cherry slush. Big difference.
Well, no cherry slush. That's
okay,
why.
Okay. No,
picked
I see where you're going with this. I was thinking real cherries.
No. Well, that was, I almost said my first, because I don't think I've ever eaten a cherry in my life, but I've had so many cherry flavored things.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure I would even like a real cherry, but cherry slush, cherry starburst, you know, I'll have a cherry Coke from time to time. If I ever have a Coca-Cola, I just prefer the original.
Yeah.
But I don't mind a cherry Coke. Sometimes you accidentally get a cherry Coke if you go to a fast food joint.
You want to know a good one?
What's that?
Cherry vanilla Coke.
Ah.
Now that
I've had that before.
Tier. Now that is real good.
Yeah.
They used to make these Cokes, Matt. Did you see this at Target? It was like 5 summers ago, but they were so good. They had a raspberry Coke and they had a peach Coke. They were both unbelievable.
Peach Coke?
It tastes like peach rings. It was pretty good.
That doesn't seem appetizing at all.
It was great.
All right,
I get you. I get you now. I was thinking real cherries. Yeah, you're right.
Cherry flavored things are amazing.
We're talking the flavor, not the food.
I know.
That's an important distinction. I don't even know what a cherry tastes like because I've never had one.
I've only had the maraschino ones that are in chili temples.
But that like goes to my point where like if you just pulled the shit out of a pumpkin and just ate the pumpkin stuff,
yeah.
I don't think that would taste the
belly.
Same as like a pumpkin pie, right? They sort of like the flavor. They sort of like extract all the best parts.
Isn't a pumpkin pie just like nutmeg, basically?
I think so.
Like it's like 90% that.
I'm not sure how much actual pumpkin is in a pumpkin pie. I like pumpkin pie.
And it is pretty good.
But a pumpkin to me is not on my list. I don't know. It's not even going to be. It's on my dishonorable mentions.
Oh, okay.
You got the charge, dishonorable discharge there.
So,
cherry is my first pick, though.
Well, that's a good pick because you know what the best flavor of Starburst is? The Fave Reds pack, which has like just cherry on cherry.
Yes. Yeah, I think. Yeah, I'd probably still pick cherry as my favorite Starburst.
Yeah. All right, moving on. My second pick, I'm going to go to the food realm here and out of the candy and drink realm. Gold Fever, you know, or like Gold Fever wings, which is like a mix of, I think, barbecue and honey mustard. Oh, my goodness. That is the best flavor of chicken that you can get.
So is the 99 the only place that does Gold Fever? Is that a 99?
No,
I thought that was a 99 thing.
No, every place has it. They just call it something different. At the 99, it's called Gold Fever.
Oh,
but
I learned something today.
Yes.
I love
that. Make, what's that company that makes all the sauces that you... They make different kinds of barbecue sauces.
Sweet Baby Ray's.
Sweet Baby Ray's. They make their version of Gold Fever. I don't know what it's called, but it's called like Gold Sauce or something like that.
I never knew this.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, I've seen like Golden Barbecue before. That must be what that is.
Yes. Yes.
Wow. I do like the Gold Fever wings.
It's so good. I don't know what it is. It's just something about it is like, it's just the perfect amount of blend.
It's just barbecue and honey mustard, though?
I believe so, yeah.
And there's no official name for it?
Yeah. So they just call it Gold. Golden sauce, basically.
I like that.
That's really good.
I love that pick because you taught me something.
Yeah,
I don't know what I could do with that knowledge, but I'm gonna go out and be somebody now.
Oh, you gotta do it. Like so, I grew up second half of my childhood. I was in Billerica, and there's this place called Augusta's, and they would do gold sauce. Like you can get that and with your chicken bites, and it was awesome. So, big fan of all that. All that, the TV show and Gold Fever wings. So that is my second pick. Great blend, but really good with chicken, but still, it's good. You can put it on a salad. You can put it on, you know, dip it if you have tenders or nuggets.
Mm.
It's a lot of combinations for it.
That's a good one. All right. I was thinking, conflicted in my mind whether I should actually go with this after you picked the golden whatever, but I'm going to go regular barbecue for my second pick.
Okay.
Barbecue ribs. Barbecue chicken wings, it's always my go-to.
What about chips?
I like the Lay's barbecue chips.
Okay.
I am a Lay's barbecue chips guy. There was back my first job ever was working at the local, it's funny, it wasn't Star Market, but it was called North Andover Star Market.
Oh, weird.
But it was like a tiny, tiny, like glorified convenience store type supermarket. No big deal. I worked my way up to the checkout manager position.
Whoa.
No big deal. I was in charge of several smelly high school kids.
This man got free drinks.
I don't know if
really,
he did or not.
You know, that's when I knew I'd be a true leader, was telling people to go bring the carriages in.
A leader of men in carriages.
but the reason I bring that up is because my go-to like snack when I would have a quick break was I could get a bag of Lay's chips for 25 cents.
Mm.
Back of my day, I bet that same bag costs like $1.50 now.
You know, it's a good barbecue variation. It doesn't fit under your phylum, but it is one.
Phylum.
Yeah.
Good word.
Kingdom
honey, phylum class.
The Sorry, honey what? Barbecue Utz chips are...
The Utz.
Stupidly good.
I call them Utz.
I think they're Utz.
Is it Utz? How do you pronounce that?
Listen,
brand?
My dumb ass thought it was VTZ as of like 3 years ago. So
Utz.
I thought it was a V. I didn't know it was a U. I thought it was a V.
Why'd you think it was a V?
I'm a dumb idiot.
I thought it was clearly.
What do you expect me to
do? It's clearly a U. It's clearly curved.
I think it was a V.
There's a clear curve to it. This is where we need a producer to bring up the logo so
no.
we can debate it. Too bad we can't afford one of those.
Yeah. I thought it was a V. I don't know why. So I just did.
But I know. But barbecue, I mean, I feel like it had to be on one of our lists. And I guess we both technically picked a barbecue, but I love going to like a burger joint or like not necessarily like a fast food, but like a burger like pub where they're known for their burgers. Mm-hmm. I always love to try out whatever barbecue has the whatever burger has the barbecue sauce on it.
Yeah,
because it's always called like the cowboy burger or whatever, you know.
Yeah, no, the Burger King rodeo burger.
The bull's ass burger, like
the,
that.
The rodeo burger remains the king of fast food dollar menu.
Oh
items.
Wait, the rodeo burger from
Burger King.
Burger King.
It had onion rings, cheese, and barbecue sauce on it.
I was gonna say,
like, how could you do better than that?
Yeah, as I was gonna say, the one time I traveled to California in 2008, we hit up Carl's Jr. and they had that exact same burger, but that it probably had a different name.
Carl's Jr. or Hardee's, whichever one, tastes just like Burger King. This is Burger King.
It was not much different from a Wendy's or a Burger King for me, but yeah. It was fine. It was fine. I'm big on the barbecue sauce on a burger.
It was a good pick.
So that's my second pick.
My third pick, this one is just, you can't replicate it, right? There's no way of replicating it on your own. Fruit punch flavored anything. What the hell is it? I don't know, but
yeah,
I love it.
That's
it,
true.
It's
what
just red flavored, I think. I don't know, but it's, like,
wouldn't it be funnier if they just called it fruit?
Yeah.
It's just fruit flavored.
Like, yeah, you don't know. What is the central flavor of fruit punch flavored things? I don't know. It's just red, and I love it.
It's like my cousin Vinny when they look at the menu and it's just breakfast, lunch, dinner.
Yeah. That's what I feel like. Like,
it's I not do like strawberry. I do like Hawaiian gross. Punch. Yeah, I like Hawaiian punch. For a while, that was my go-to Gatorade because I've always been like a cherry guy. So I always go for the red flavor, you know.
Best fruit punch, Minute Maid.
Really?
Oh, so good. And it's like gone now. I don't know where it is.
That is a great question, though. What fruit does fruit punch even taste like?
It's not strawberry. It's not watermelon.
Like, I can't even think of like a combination. Grape and cherry, maybe? Something like that?
I don't know. No one knows, but it's a great flavor.
This is a good, I feel like this would be a good experiment for us. Good for content if we get a fruit punch and then do the taste test.
Research and development.
Because I can't picture, like picture the flavor without having the drink in front of me and drinking it.
Yeah, no,
I think we got to do that. We have to update our faithful listener, our four listeners that download every week. I'm kidding, it's more than that.
I am a child. And I will always have a container of the powder to make the Kool-Aid fruit punch. The Kool-Aid tropical punch is like the...
That's still just fruit punch, though,
it
right?
It is, yeah.
Regular Kool-Aid is just fruit punch, isn't it?
Yes, yes.
That's a great question. What is fruit punch? I'm not sure
I even
want to know.
They put like 9 different fruits on the cover of it, so it could be any of these.
It's a whole cornucopia.
Yeah,
I don't even want to know.
It's the old Fruit of the Loom logo.
My guess is it's cherry and grape. They mislead you and put every whole cornucopia of fruit. But
I can see that.
My guess is it's cherry and grape mixed together,
yeah.
Basically.
Yeah,
maybe
that would make sense.
Maybe a dash of strawberry? But you don't think there's any strawberry in there.
It can't be a central flavor because it's too rich. Strawberry, when you drink it, always has like a lightness to it, right? Fruit punch is not light. It's just not. So,
no.
So it can't be strawberry as a central flavor, in my opinion. You might be on the right path with cherry and grape because those are the most dominant kind of fruit flavors when it comes to drinks.
That's a great question. You're really bringing a lot to the table in this big three here.
I'm trying.
Enjoying it, but I still got to make one more pick, don't I?
You do. All right. What is it?
All right. It's funny. I had strawberry and banana separately.
Oh,
my
really?
I did not have the combo. For my third one, though, I'll go teriyaki.
Oh,
are you a teriyaki guy at all?
Okay. So my favorite mall food court option, Maki of Japan or Sarku, any of those. And I just get the chicken teriyaki with the vegetables and the white rice. That's all I do. So
I
love going to the hibachi places for that exact reason.
Yeah.
But I hate sitting with strangers. I don't want to be friends with you. I got enough friends. I don't want any more friends.
That is weird, especially if we're sitting next to someone who's like on a date.
Right.
You know, or like someone who's celebrating a birthday. Like every time it feels like.
It's just
get mashed up with just another group of adults who are letting a cook squirt sake into their mouth.
Yeah, if someone has a baby and the baby gets upset by the fire, you're like, come on, man, leave the baby at home.
Yeah, or toughen up, you little bitch.
Yeah.
I was molded by the fire. I used to burn myself on the hibachi.
I love this pick, but yes, please go on.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, like, you know, a nice teriyaki on a stick. It used to be my favorite Chinese option.
Yep.
I would always, I still do. You know, it's still in, like, they put it in the poo-poo platter, I think. But, like, you know, you, I don't know if you could identify this with, with this too much as a straight edge man, but we would always go to the Hong Kong bar in the
Harvard Square.
There is the Harvard one, but we would go to the one in Faneuil Hall.
Oh, okay.
That was like closer to where we lived at the time or whatever. But they'd walk around with dollar teriyaki on a stick, and we'd walk in there like we're walking into a strip club, just a pile of ones.
Yeah.
And you know, we pound our drinks. And we eat the teriyaki on a stick to get that protein and, you know, keep us filled. And so we're not just, you know, drinking on an empty stomach. It was a nice go-to for a little while.
We had, when I was in Chicago last year at Riot Fest, there was one of the food vendors there. And they weren't there this past year. And I was super bummed about it because I loved this meal. It was chicken teriyaki on a stick with vegetables. And then it was served on top of a bed of pineapple rice. The pineapple rice and the teriyaki flavor was like such a good combination. I couldn't believe it that I had never thought of that combination before.
Pineapple's another one where like I've never eaten like an actual pineapple.
Dude, I can't
have
it.
But I've had pineapple
flavored
stuff.
Because I'm like, I think I'm allergic to it or something because it makes my throat like all scratchy.
Yep, that's you got a pineapple allergy.
It sucks. I love pineapple, but I
do you eat any other actual fruit like that? Because you might just have a fruit allergy. I told you that I randomly became allergic to fruit within the last few years, which is tragic because I used to love eating.
No, I can do all. I can do every other fruit. My favorite fruit is bananas. I love you. I can eat a banana every day.
I used
love
to
bananas.
Love. I could. I would probably still be eating bananas every day. I can't do it anymore.
Really?
It gives me the itchy throat, and if I eat too much, I get an upset stomach.
My favorite breakfast
tragic.
Is oatmeal with a banana and a side of peanut butter.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Ty, you're getting me hot and bothered over here.
I'm just trying.
And you're also making me a little bit sad.
Why?
Because I can't eat bananas anymore.
You can have oatmeal still. Have some oatmeal.
I'll have some oatmeal.
Have some hot white for breakfast. Hey, would you like some gray for breakfast?
Yeah.
What if we made it hot, too? Some hot gray.
Here's some beige mush. How does that sound?
You ever owned a sweater? It looks like the inside of a sweater. Eat it.
Remember that press conference when Tom Brady said, I do not deflate the balls. My balls are perfect. It was that color.
Yeah, it's just, it is. Yeah, pineapple's a bummer that I can't have that, but that's a good pick for you. I'm not going to lie.
All right, honorable mentions. I had General Gao flavor on my list, which is another good one along with the Gold Fever, which, like, what even is General Gao?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that is, but it's amazing. I had strawberry banana. I had apple flavor. Apple's another thing I can't eat anymore because it makes me nauseous.
I got one. Cinnamon brown sugar. So
good. Oh, that's a good one.
Cinnamon. Churros, dough, pancakes. I don't care. Put it on anything.
Oatmeal.
It's good. Oatmeal.
If I get oatmeal, it's the cinnamon and brown sugar.
Yeah. I used to think I was weird because my favorite Pup-Tart growing up, besides Wildberry, because that's number one, obviously, as we all know, was the cinnamon brown sugar. And everyone's like, how can you eat that? I'm like, I don't know. I just like it.
Maple flavor is a good one.
Mm-hmm.
That's another one. There's cinnamon, maple, or whatever. You know, pouring a little maple syrup on bacon or sausage at breakfast. Underrated move.
Rainbow sherbet.
Not enough people do it. What'd you say?
Rainbow sherbet.
Wait, that's your flavor?
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Just all of them?
Yeah. Like lime. It's like lime ice cream. It's awesome.
Yeah, well,
it's
orange,
so good.
Orange sherbet was my go-to ice cream for a long time.
Yeah, yeah. I actually got this new ice cream the other day. It was on sale at Stop and Shop, and I was like, I like this. I'll try it. It's called like Nick's Swedish Ice Cream, and it has like not a lot of sugar and it, you know, whatever. And the flavor I tried was raspberry with like chocolate. Raspberry with chocolate. That is we're talking about combos last week or 2 weeks ago. Now, that's a sneaky good combo.
Yeah.
Is any sort of berry with chocolate is really good for some reason.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I've had chocolate covered strawberries before.
Ooh, how erotic of you.
Yeah, I mean, it was a pleasurable night, I would say.
Just delightful.
Yeah, but I don't think I've ever eaten just a straight-up raspberry, though. That's another one.
You ever eaten edible underwear? Does it buy you lonesome? You got no food?
No.
I always thought it'd be, like, a really, like, depressing thing is, like it'd be great for, like, a Judd Apatow, like, this guy breaks up his girlfriend, and he's no food. He's just eating the edible underwear. They never used it.
Yeah.
That's, like, his, like, snack.
Gosh, I don't get paid until Friday. What do I got? He goes to the pantry. All he's got is, like, raw oatmeal and edible undies.
Yeah, he just starts eating it.
Starts eating the box.
Yeah. Why not? Why not?
In more ways than one.
Let's see. What else? What other flavors? I'm trying to think now. Like, because I kind of got the three that I wanted, and then I was like, all right. Like, because I could say
lemon. What about lemon lime? Neither of us had lemon lime flavor.
There is a, I don't know how you say it. Schweppes?
Yes, Schweppes.
Schweppes?
The ginger ale?
Schweppes. They make a seltzer lemon lime. It is the closest thing to Sprite that's on the market if you're trying to cut out that sugar.
Ginger. Really Ginger's good. A good flavor.
Yeah, it all depends how strong it is, though, because, like, bold ginger makes you want to die.
Yeah, real ginger, like, burns your mouth.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had once, what was the place called? Emac and Bolio's, I think it was called.
Not a real place, but
it's,
go on.
It's not, I might have had a fever dream. But no, they had a little place in North Station where they just had, like old-timey sodas in the glass bottle.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
I grabbed an old-school ginger soda, and my mouth was on fire. It was insane.
If you ever want to upset everyone that you're friends with, Super Bowl is coming up. You want to upset people? Bring a 2-liter of bold ginger ale and make everyone try it. They will have a horrible time.
Bold ginger. I don't
I did
know
this
why.
Last year, and it was so funny.
I don't see the need for it.
Dude, it sucks.
I don't see the need for
so
why the boldness.
It sucks. It's awful.
Just regular ginger.
You know what's a good one? Buffalo. That's just a great flavor.
I was going to bring up, like, I'm surprised.
It's so basic, so I didn't want to go with it, but it's such a good flavor.
Yeah, like, I'm not a huge buffalo guy, but I would eat it. If I went to a Super Bowl party and the guy's like, we're getting buffalo wings, it's like, all right, I'll do it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one.
I bet there will be people on Twitter back. I can't believe none of you picked buffalo.
I mean, it makes sense. Like, I get it. Raspberry. Namely, raspberry iced tea. Awesome.
That's another awesome one where it's like eating a raspberry and then eating black raspberry ice cream are like two completely different experiences.
Yeah. Yeah. I would agree with that. That's kind of what I got.
I feel like we could do entire podcasts talking like this.
Oh, we definitely could. Just
we
our,
do
our,
a supplemental, you know, bonus episode or whatever where we just talk food, like random food
stuff.
The Rule
5 draft of all these things that we couldn't get to.
Yeah, seriously. All right, Ty, any closing thoughts before we get out of here?
Nope, we got to go.
Yep, we got to go, folks. Thanks for listening. If you made it this far, thanks. I love you. This is, once again, the Sports Hub Underground Podcast. I'm Matt Dolph. He's Ty Anderson. You can get us wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Google. If you have, like, your own, like, special little appy app that you like to use, you need to plug in the RSS feed, just hit us up. Hit us up on Twitter. We'll send you the link, and you can always get us every week at 985thesportshub.com and the Sports Hub app. That's where you can get all our coverage. We write a lot. We are writers at heart, really. I do like to bandy about on a podcast, but writing is where we got the most experience. And Ty is the best in the market when it comes to Bruins coverage, and I'm a guy. I like writing. You know, I put my effort in.
He's a guy.
We are a couple guys.
If there's one thing you can say about Matt, it's he's a guy.
I am a guy.
And he loves strawberry, chocolate covered strawberries. That erotic bastard over there. just lathering himself up in chocolate.
I'm going to go eat my own panties in a second.
Oh, he's out of food, everyone. Send him money.
All right. Thanks, folks. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you again next week.
StageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.